KQJO, St. Joseph Natchez 99.3.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Natchez. Stay tuned and focused in that voice of life ministered to you by our pastor, Altonio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Father, we pray that you touch everyone, every single person in this building today. Father, that the hand of God will be upon them and that, Lord, they'll realize, Lord, how precious we are in your sight. Father, we ask you now, Lord God, that you give me clarity of thought and precision of speech. Let my tongue bear the pen of a ready writer. Let the hearts of the hearer be the tablet in which I shall write upon the word of faith. The word of God that brings healing, deliverance, power, and peace. And even prosperity to the believer. Father, we thank you now. We thank you for the Holy Ghost of God that you've given to us that we may love one another. We thank you that he's also the giver of life. We thank you, Lord, the revealer of truth. We thank you for the Holy Ghost who gives us what belongs to you. And Father, we thank you for the word that strengthens us and sustains us. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers us, cleanses us, cures us, and connects us to you. We thank you, Lord, that you looked over the celestial banisters of heaven and poured us out a blessing that we don't have room enough to receive. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you've done and what you're about to do in this service. Father, heal, deliver, set free. Lord, make our feet like hinds' feet. Lord, help us, Lord, to do the things that you called us to do. Father, we glorify, we magnify your name. And Father, after you've done all you wanted to do in this service, after you've touched us, after you've delivered our souls, and after you've given us peace and joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, we'll be careful to give you glory, honor, and praise. And Father, we will join in with the many-winged seraphim and the many-eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you are holy. You're holy, God. You're holy. And your glory fills the earth. We pray in Jesus' name, and we thank you now. Amen. 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 Want to tag or give a thought or title to this message and scriptures here. How to handle pressure. How to handle pressure. Yeah, the place for peace, and we go to the place of pressure, and we get to petitioning God, and we start to praying to God, and look at what he said. He said, Father, if this cup could pass from me, let it happen. But he said, but nevertheless, if the only way that this cup is going to go anywhere is if I drink it, so be it. Yeah. Or better yet, amen. Yeah. Better yet, not my will, but thy will be done. And sometimes we don't want the will of God in our life. Because we pray trials away. We pray, and you know what? For those people who've been praying for patience, you know what you're praying for, right? You're praying for trials. The Bible says, I don't know why I had to stop here, because somebody's been praying. Somebody's been asking for patience. Well, you're going to get trials. Because the Bible says that tribulation works patience. Patience experience and experience hope, and we have a hope that maketh us not ashamed. The good thing about that is as you go through your tribulation, as you go through your trial, you have a hope that won't disappoint you. Amen. 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 And so he said that he tells them, he goes away. After he gets up, he goes and he tells his disciples, he said, couldn't you just watch with me? He told Peter, he said, couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? You was just a few minutes ago, just an hour ago, Peter, you said you would die with me. And you can't even pray with me? Lord, help me today. You know how it is. You get sick. If you're sick for a couple of days, people will bring you soup. They'll call you. They'll check on you. But stay sick a week. You don't hear from nobody. Stay sick a month. They will forget about you. Oh, yeah, why it's fresh on their mind? Let me check on her. Oh, yeah, how you doing? Well, I'm going to bring you this. I'm going to send that baby over there. She's going to bring you that. Now, all of a sudden, about a week or two later, they done forgot. They done slept on you. Yeah. Oh, come on and say amen here. That's what happened to Jesus. Even Jesus had the same kind of friends you and I have. Yeah. So why do you expect more out of your friends? If Jesus had those like that he had, he didn't expect more. He said, that's all right. Sleep on. Oh, come on and say amen. He didn't get mad with them. He didn't get angry with them. He told them, he said, I need you to watch and pray. The reason why we need to watch is so that we can see what we're praying for come to pass. I know somebody thought that we got to watch and see what's going to happen. No, there's too many of us spectating, not participating. Stop watching to see what's going to happen and start watching to see what God is going to make happen. I'm waiting. I'm watching for my prayers to manifest. I'm waiting for God to do something in my life. I'm waiting for God to heal because I pray. I'm waiting for God to deliver because I pray. I'm waiting for God to set somebody free because I pray. Come on and say hallelujah. Oh yeah, and so he prayed, and then the Bible says that he came and he found them a second time. They were still sleeping, and he went back and prayed again. He said, I can pray by myself. He went a little further, and sometimes we need to separate ourselves and pray anyway. Sometimes we need our own time with God. I don't need somebody interfering with me. What if their phone ring and they normally pray with their phone right beside them, and somebody texts them, they stop praying, and they let me text them right quick back. All right, and let me go back to praying. You know y'all do that all the time. We pray and we got our phone right there. Turn that phone off. Leave that phone somewhere else and go ahead and pray and spend time with the Lord. We let that stuff interrupt. Who's interrupting you and God? Who is more important than your relationship with God, your conversation with God? What is more important in this conversation we're having today than with God? Come on and say amen. What's more important to you? Is it the people that you got on Facebook and on Twitter and on Instagram and the people in my contacts that are so important that I got to, every moment I got to answer them in time? Let me tell you something. If you got a boyfriend and he can't let you pray an hour, and if you ain't text him back where you been, then you need to let that rascal go. That's the joker. You need to get rid of him. That's Bozo and not Boaz preaching here. We need to let him go. If he getting angry because you praying, if he don't want you to come, I don't see why you got to run down to that church all the time. If he don't want you to go to church, you might need to think twice about what kind of joker you dealing with, because he ain't the boy as you think he is. He's the bozo from the cookie and the clown show. We need to know. We need to make sure we don't have people interrupting our time with God. We don't need to let stuff interrupt our time with God. Do I have a witness here? Y'all getting weary on me? Am I saying something that'll help you today? We need to know how to handle pressure. We need to handle it by prayer. And sometimes we need to know that we'll be in this all by ourselves. Sometimes it's just me and God. But you know what? If God be for us, Lord, y'all help me to preach this morning. Who can be against us? In other words, if God is on my side, everybody else might as well be, because I'm not losing. Come on and say, man, I'm going to attain whatever it is that God has for me if God is on my side. Better yet, I need to be on God's side, because if I'm on his side, then I got victory. If I'm on his side, I'll never be defeated. If I'm on his side, I'm more than a conqueror. If I'm on his side, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, hallelujah. They said that once this man came to Abraham Lincoln. He told him, he said, in the time of the Civil War, he said, I hope that we can win. I hope that we win. And I pray that we win. And Abraham Lincoln said, yeah, me too. He said, well, if God is on our side, then we will. And Abraham Lincoln said, I hope that we're on God's side. That's the way we need to be. We need to be on God's side. And whatever God wants to do, whatever he wants to do in this season, Lord, don't do it without me. Wish I had somebody. He says, and let's go back to the scripture. He says, and he found them sleep a third time, and their eyes were so heavy. You know how your eyes get heavy. You can't hold them open like some of y'all right now. Some of y'all sleepy in here right now. Your eyes get so heavy. And he left them and went away. He didn't even say nothing to them this time. He just let them sleep. He didn't even bother them. He just let them sleep this time. He went away to pray, and he said, it's okay. And he tells them now in verse number 45, he cometh to his disciples and said to them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, the hand of him that doth betray me. And so we look at this now. After he has went into the garden, the place of pressure, and he found himself petitioning God and his Father in prayer, his intimacy with God, he showed it by saying daddy or by father, old father. And he's now in a place where he finds that the purpose of God is more important than any pleasure. He finds that the priorities of God are more important than anything else. Come on and say amen. Because he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. At some point in our life, when we are under pressure, we need to say, Lord, if this pressure is not moving, then whatever your will is for me, I know that the outcome is going to work for my good. Come on and say amen. We need to know that when we pray to God, that we have prioritized now and say, Lord, it's not how I feel and what I I think about this thing is how you want this thing to go down. I wish I had somebody. Lord, it's not how I want this thing to work out for my good, but Lord, whatever your purpose is, I don't know how you're going to work it out, and I don't know what you're going to get out of it, but Lord, I'm willing to let you get all you can get out of this little life of mine. Do I have anybody here? He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Notice that it was just a cup. He said, let this cup pass from me. Sometimes we stare at the cup and we wonder about the cup, and all you got to do is drink the cup and get this thing over with, and trust that God said, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm you. I'm going to be tried and come forth as pure gold when I go through my trial. Come on and say hallelujah. When I go through my situation, when I'm under pressure, I'm going to be my best. I'm not going to bust because I got integrity. I wish I had somebody. In order for you to get some integrity, in order for you to have pipes put in your house or whatever it is, those pipes have to be pressure tested. They have to be able to withstand a certain amount of pressure. And don't you know, if God's going to use you, you got to be pressure tested. You got to be able to handle whatever it is that he might allow to put on you. He said, look, come on and say amen. He said that if you come to him, he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I don't know about you, but if I can be yoked in with him, I know when I can't carry the load, he can carry. He's my burden bearer, my heavy load. Do I have anybody in here this afternoon that decides to say, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you won't put no more on me than I can bear. I looked at my shoulders and said, I think my shoulders might be big enough now that I can bear a cross. Come on and say amen. And I realized the pressure that I might have to endure. I realized the things that I might have to come on and say amen, that might have to come against me. But one thing I like about this is that his time in the garden was a time of pressure, but he hadn't faced the pressure yet. And so what he did in the garden, the place of prayer, the place of petition, got him ready for what he was about to encounter. See, what we got to understand is God gives us a forefeeling sometimes. He gives us a forewarning sometimes that we may not understand what's around the corner. But when we're in the place of prayer, he allows us to feel it, to know that he's with us. And so I don't know why I'm feeling like this, but I think it's time to pray. What happened to the mothers that did that? When they feel, I feel something, I need to go to the bathroom. I don't get off the line. I need to get away from my desk, go to my prayer, make my prayer closet the stall if I have to, and I'm going to pray to the Lord because of what I feel down in my spirit. How many are in tune with God that when something may not be right, you feel it in your spirit and you say, you know what, I got to stop. I got to call you back by a click and go and pray. Make your car your prayer closet. People think you're talking to yourself. That's all right. God is your pilot, not your co-pilot, and he's guiding you in your prayer. I wish I had somebody here that say, I make whatever it is and wherever it is my prayer closet. I'm going to pray to the Lord secretly that he might reward me openly. The Bible even tells us that he knows what we're going to pray before we yet speak. So all he wants you to do is pray. Oh, come on and say amen. The scripture tells us that we don't even know what to pray for, but the Holy Ghost make intercession for us according to the will of Lord. Help me today. If I just had a few people that realized, I don't know what to pray for, but the Holy Ghost got my back. I don't know how to pray this thing, but the Holy Ghost can show me what I need to say. I don't know what I need to do, but the Holy Ghost, after I get through praying, oh, the devil's in trouble now, because I done prayed and I talked to the Lord about this thing. You need, when they call you and say, baby, I'm sorry, I heard what happened, you need to say, no, don't be sorry for me. You need to rejoice with me, and I rejoice in all things, as the scripture had said. I made my petition to God with thanksgiving, and I know that he's a deliverer. I know that he's a healer. How else? Come on and say amen here. When mama told me that God was a healer, I never understood. I heard he was a healer. Not until I got sick did I know that he was a healer. Oh, come on and say amen. And sometime we need to go through so we'll know who God is. I didn't know that he was a deliverer until I needed to be delivered, and he snatched me up out of a horrible pit and placed my feet on a rock. I wish I had somebody here. I didn't know that he was a friend to all my friends. turn their back on me, and I realize that he'll be a friend that's sticking closer than any brother. Do I have anybody here? I did not know that he'll be a mother when mother's gone until 96 when mama closed her eyes and died. I realized that God would be a mother when you're motherless. Do I have anybody? Then I didn't know that he'll be a battle axe in the time of battle until I had to fight a war and fight the good fight of faith, and I took my battle axe. Now come on and say amen here. Do I have anybody that say, I know how to handle pressure. I know how to run to the rock that's higher than I. I know how, oh, come on and say amen here. I know how to lift my head into the hills from whence cometh my help, for my help comes from the Lord. Do I have anybody here? Say, I know my purpose in life is to give the devil a black eye. I know my purpose in life is to let him know no weapon formed against me shall prosper. My purpose in life is to bring to pass what God has said, that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him from them all. Do I have anybody here? Let's look at what it prepared him for. When Jesus got up and he said, that's all right, sleep on. He said, the hand of the one that come to betray me, he's already here. What Jesus had to deal with, and he prayed before he dealt with it, was somebody who said that he was their friend, his friend, and came and kissed him to betray him. Now, how many of us would have put up with that? If you ain't prayed, you know what? I bet you what, Judas, don't get too close, because Judas, you're about to get knocked slopes clean out. Come on and say amen. We need to look at this. Jesus, when it came time, and I'm getting past what I read, but when it came while he spake, they came up and Judas kissed him on the cheek. Now, how many of you would have let him that close if you wasn't prayed up? How many of you, even if you prayed, would have let him got that close? Come on and say amen. We know what we would have did. We would have said, give me your sword, Peter. Let me cut him down right now, because he ain't no good. He's a snitch. Come on and say amen. We would have got mad. We would have got angry. But because he was ready to do the will of God, he said, that's all right. Let him kiss me. And he said, he called Judas friend. He said, friend, betrayest thou me with a kiss? And Judas, that was the convicting that Judas got when he left there. He was so overwhelmed with his conviction that he went and hung himself. Come on and say amen. We got to see here what he was about to deal with. While he prayed, he was able to go through the judgment that was unrighteous judgments against him. They lied on him. They said some things about him in his face. Come on and say amen. Forget about the backstabbers. These were people who was trying to stab him in the chest. They was the front stabbers. I wish I had somebody. Anybody had to deal with front stabbers? Some people who wanted you to know it was me. They lied on you and looked at you when they did it. I wish I had somebody. They said something untrue and pointed at you when it was gone. I wish I had some people in the church today that understood that, been there. I've been there. Come on and say amen. And if you ain't prayed up, some things might go down that you don't want to go down. I wish I had somebody here. He went not only to be judged, but they took him and they beat him with a cat of nine tail whip. They beat him until his skin came off of his body, and they begin to whip the Prince of Peace, and they got him to a place where he not only had he sweated blood in the garden, but he was down to a place that he was bleeding so badly and lost so much blood that they beat him to a pulp that you couldn't recognize who he was. So Pilate had to put a label on the cross to let people know, here is Jesus, King of the Jews, in three different languages. Come on and say amen. They beat him so bad, but you know what I heard? Grandmama said that he never said a mumbling word. Mama said he never said a mumbling word. Oh, come on and say amen. I know it was the blood said that he never said a mumbling word. And how did he get to a place where he allowed them to slap him, beat him, pull out his beard, hit him upside the head, lash him 39 stripes with a cat of nine tail whip with bone and glass in it, and not say a mumbling word? It is because he went to the place of prayer and he got strength from the Lord. Do I have anybody? When we look at this in Luke, it said that an angel came and strengthened him. God will send some supernatural power to sustain you, to help you while you're in the place of pressure because of what's about to happen. I believe at that point the pressure was released. The pressure was gone. They beat him and they took him and they put a cross on his shoulder. I'm almost done now. Y'all ready to close this? He said they put a cross on his shoulder. And he walked up a hill called Calvary, or Golgotha. And when he got up there, he stumbled. And there was one man by the name of Simon Cyrene that they took and they put the cross on his shoulder to be able to carry it just a little bit further. And when somebody read that, they wrote a song that said, "Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? But there is a cross for everyone. And I know there's a cross for you and for me." Do I have anybody here? But when he got up to the cross, the Bible says that when he laid down, he said, "No man taketh my life, but I lay it down for my friends." You know that you are a friend of God, that Jesus laid down with you on his mind. They put nails in his hands and feet, and he was able to endure it without complaints. Many of us, we complain about the cross. We don't want to go through the cross. Do you know the reason why God sent people to crucify you? Is because you won't crucify yourself. It's because he knows that you won't put nails in your own hand. He knows that you won't nail your own feet. He knows that you won't lift yourself up in shame. Do I have a witness? So he sent other folks, and you can't get mad at them. Let's see what Jesus did. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We can't keep walking around harboring hatred and bitterness in our heart. If we got that in our heart, God can't hear us. And I ain't got time to let some joker get between me and God. God got to hear me, because I got to pray not only for me, but I got to pray for you. And so we got to let go of that stuff, that harboring, the stuff that we have on the inside of us, and say, "I can't let you affect my relationship with God. You ain't that important, boo. I need to let you go." Come on and say, "Man, we need to get to a place now, just like Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And because of that, there was a centurion soldier that testified that surely this man is the Son of God. He realized that day, because he was able to pray, because he was able to endure without a mumbling word, and because he was able to forgive while he was yet hanging on the cross. They hung him high. The Bible said that he told them that if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And so they lifted him up. And when they lifted him up, he drew some men to him. And the Bible said that he died on the cross, but he didn't stay dead. They took him and put him in a borrowed tomb. And the reason why it was borrowed is because he gave it back for the weekend. Oh, come on and say yes here. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. Do you know that he gave that same power to you and I? Power to become sons of God. Power to overcome sickness and death. Power to overcome whatever the enemy comes and brings in our way. The Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of God will lift up a standard. Where is the standard? He's put it on the inside. So why he lifting, I'm going up too. Do I have anybody here that say, "I know how to handle pressure. Not only will I pray, but I'm going to lift my hands and begin to thank the Lord for all that he's done. I may have been through hell. I may have been through high water. I may have been through the fire. I may have been through the flood, but thank God I've been through the blood." Do I have anybody that say, "I'm thankful that I know how to handle pressure. I won't let pressure get to me. I won't let pressure take me out. But the pressure that I'm under is the kind of pressure that leads me to a crucifixion, and the same kind of pressure that leads me to a resurrection. Because the Bible says, as they put a rock in front of the grave, that you put him, like putting him in a pressure cooker, it began to shake the earth. I wish I had somebody. The earth said, "I'm under pressure. I can't hold the Son of Righteousness down. I'm under pressure, so I need to shake a bit." Until the rock was rolled away. Didn't need nobody to move the rock. Remember Lazarus? He said, "Move the rock." He told the people to move it. They moved the rock. He called Lazarus out the grave. But this time, he didn't need no help. God don't need our help doing what he's already said that he's going to do. He already said that he was going to raise Jesus from the dead. Do I have anybody? So God didn't need no help when the earth began to shake, and the Son of Life, he rose up with power. The Bible says that he got up and walked, and he told the woman by the name of Mary Magdalene, "Go tell the disciples and Peter Peter to come and meet me. Do you know what happened? They met up with Jesus. And the reason why is because they were sitting in unbelief, because they failed to pray. They failed to watch and see God move. And so Jesus sent for them. Even though you denied me, I still want to talk to you. Even though you're scattered like sheep without a shepherd, I still want to talk to you. See, some of us need to rejoice because we're just like Peter. We denied the Lord. We cursed and denied him again with how we act. But he said, come here. I still want to talk to you. I still want to love on you. I want to tell you what I did for you. I gave up the life so that you might have life more abundantly. Come on and say yes. Come on and shout glory. How do I handle pressure? I handle pressure by getting down on my knees, getting down on my face, and say, Lord, let your will be done in my life. If your will mean that I gotta struggle, let your will be done. If your will mean that I gotta strain, I know it'll be well worth it, because one day you'll deliver me. One day you'll heal me. One day you'll pick me up, turn my life around. Do I have a witness? Come on and say yes. Where are the people that say every time I turn around, the Lord, can I get somebody? If you would today, if you're not too mean, just spin for a minute and tell your neighbors, say, the reason I'm spinning around is because every time I turn, let me do it. I turn around, the Lord keeps on blessing me. Do I have a witness here? Say yes. Say yes. Won't God be a blessing? Won't he make your enemies your footstool? Won't God bring you up and bring you out? Won't God do it? Won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? Do I have a witness? Do you have any moments that you just stop and think and say, won't he, won't he? Is some things that God bless you with that you didn't pray for? Sometimes I'm in my car and I think about what he done. I let the wheel go and say, won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? Sometime on my Facebook page, I just type it in and I say, won't he, won't he? And I got a bunch of folks that understand what that means. And they say, yes, he will. Do I have anybody that got any won't he, won't he moments? Times in my life when I didn't deserve it, but the Lord's been good. So all I can say is, won't he, won't he? Tell your neighbor, you're looking at somebody that God has blessed. I can't tell you everything, but what I can do this morning is say, won't he, won't he? Say yeah. Say yeah. Won't God fix it? If you're sick in your body, won't God heal you? If you're troubled in mind, won't God give you peace? Tell your neighbor, won't he? Won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? Say yes. Say yes. Anybody know he's all right? I got a feeling that everything that you're going through this morning is going to be all right. I may be under pressure, but wait till the end. I'm going to come out of this. I'm going to resurrect, not with weakness, but with power from on high. Say yes here and give him praise. Anybody know he's all right? Come on, is he all right? I know he's all right. Say, ah, tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I don't know how you feel about him, but I know he's all right. Do you know he's all right? Say yeah. I know y'all ready to go, but I feel pretty good. If you help me close this message, I promise I'll let you get out of here. Tell your neighbor, grab them by the hand. Some of them just looking around. Shake them a little bit. Give them some momentum and say, neighbor. Say it just like I said. Say, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. I may not know three things. I may not know two things, but one thing I know. I know he's all right. Say yeah. Say yeah. Is he all right?